Okay, Jacob, did the law of Moses forbid polygamy? No. Josiah, under the Mosaic law, did adultery hinge on the marital status of the man, the woman, or both? The woman. Nehemiah, why does the Bible speak so much about sexual sin? One answer. What about it, Joseph? Because God's people are tempted with it, and it's a strong temptation. What are some things, Evan, that's destroyed by a sexual sin? I gave you five. Can you name one of them?
Their purity.
Purity is destroyed. What about Cody? What? Anything else? Reputation. Justin?
Reputation.
You stole his answer.
Resistance.
Resistance.
Morals.
Morals. Okay. Is Jesus teaching that a tempting thought is sinful within itself? No. Is Jesus forbidding people from thinking about the opposite sex? No. What man became a eunuch after reading Matthew 19, verse 12? Evan? Origen of Alexandria. And who forbade such practices anymore? Justin? Yeah, the Council of
Nicaea.
That's right. And what's the worst way to get rid of a tempting thought?
Just think I'm not going to think this tempting thought over.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Here are my questions for this study on divorce. In Matthew 5:31, does the word whoever mean everyone in the world? Number two, in the Old Testament, divorce was never granted for what cause? Number three, how many Hebrew words are translated fornication in the Bible? Hebrew words, how many of them are translated fornication? Number four, what are six reasons men could divorce under the old law? Number five, what does the Old Testament call a man who has two living wives? Number six, what's the difference between fornication and adultery? Number eight, when a person performs the action of divorce, is there ever an exception which allows them to remarry? They perform the action of a divorce. Can they ever remarry? Number nine, when a person receives the action of divorce, is there ever an exception that allows them to remarry? Number 10, is it possible to live in adultery? Does the Bible talk like that? Okay, let's start this study. And we may take several breaks to keep ourselves awake in this. But anyway, let's start off. With everybody still has their eyes open right now. Let's read verse 31, 32. Jacob?
Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery.
Okay. Now, this is a very controversial subject. It's split the brotherhood because of some saying there is no exception for divorce. And then there are others who say you can get divorced for any reason. You can remarry for any reason. And everything in between that. Okay? So we need to study this carefully and see what does the Bible say. We can't just take the safe side. Somebody said, why don't we just tell people they shouldn't divorce ever for any reason, and that be the safe side, and let's just tell them what's safe. Well, there is no safe side like that. I'll tell you why. Because if a person is innocent and their spouse is a fornicator and their spouse won't stop, they just keep fornicating, then this poor old spouse over here must put that person away, or they're living with a harlot, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you can ask me about that later, because I'm really not going to talk about that. But the Bible teaches it is wrong to keep living with a harlot, with someone that is a sexual fornicator. Okay, I won't really talk about that right now in this talk, but you can ask me later, or you can ask me in the comment section. But anyway, so here's this poor person. They have a cheating spouse. They divorce that cheating spouse. They're all alone, and the Bible says that they have a right to marry, and if we tell them they can't marry, what is that? That's a doctrine of what? Huh? No. It's a doctrine of devils, demons. Let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let's read it again. We read this yesterday. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Josiah?
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Now, in verse 1, underline doctrines of devils, or doctrine of demons, and then draw a line down to verse 3, forbidding to marry. And underline forbidding to marry. And that helped you to see that to forbid marriage to someone who has a right to be married is a doctrine of demons. And it's not safe just to tell everybody you cannot divorce and remarry for any reason. That's a doctrine of demons. Okay? Now, also, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 6. Nathan, read that.
So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man separate.
So, let's say we have a woman who is divorced. She's an innocent woman. Her husband was a fornicator. She divorced him. And she married, okay, like Jesus, like Matthew 19:9 said she could. So she married. And now someone says, you know, let's just take the safe side and tell people you can't divorce and remarry for any reason. That's the safe way. So now this woman did marry, and we tell her, you can't be married. The safe thing is to get unmarried. And so she divorces that husband, the second husband she's with, and she lives alone. What just happened? Joseph? Yeah. What did Jesus say here in Matthew 19, verse 6? Let not man put asunder what God has joined. If that innocent woman, when she married, if God recognizes that marriage and accepts that marriage, and then she divorces, she's doing exactly what Jesus said you shouldn't be doing. And so the no exception doctrine ends up splitting people that are joined together in the eyes of God, with God's approval. And they are doing the very thing they don't want to do. They are separating what God has joined together. So to understand this, let's go back and look at Matthew 5. Again, we're in this Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at verse 31, and let's read this to refresh our memory now. And Nehemiah, read it, verse 31.
Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.
Okay, look at that word, whoever. Okay, Jacob, who is this? Is this everybody in the world?
It's a conditional word.
Huh? You have to have more information to find out who the whoever is. Okay. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Well, first, wait. Let me ask this. Who said this? Who originally said it? It has been said, whoever divorces his wife. Now, who said it originally? Nehemiah? Moses. Moses said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. So I want to know, is that everybody in the whole wide world? What do you think, Joseph? No, it's not everybody in the whole wide world. Who was the law of Moses given to? It was given to Israel, all right? So the whoever means everybody in Israel. Doesn't mean everybody in the whole wide world, because the law was given just to the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Joseph?
The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive.
So the Lord did not make this law with the fathers who were before. He didn't make it with all the nations. He made it with the Israelites who were led out of Egypt. Right? Now, that's going to be important, because whoever means whoever in Israel. And that's going to be real important when we get to verse 32 in a minute, because we're going to read that word whoever again. Okay? So just remember, whoever doesn't mean everybody in the whole wide world in verse 31. Now, to fully appreciate what Jesus is teaching, we're going to have to understand what the Old Testament say about divorce. And the amazing thing is that in the Old Testament, you could not divorce on the grounds of fornication. You can't do that. It's not allowed. Look, first of all, let's notice all of these different situations. Now, we've got number one, premarital sex with an unmarried, unengaged girl. Here's a girl, she's not married and she's not engaged. And so somebody has sex with her. What happens when this occurs? Deuteronomy 22, verses 28 and 29. Evan, it's your turn. Deuteronomy 22, verses 28 and 29.
If men
find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days.
No divorce for fornication here. Now, there's no death penalty being invoked in this case, but there is no divorce either. He can never put her away all the days of his life. And I think Nathan gave a good explanation about why this is the case. Tell them, everybody, what you said earlier. I thought that was good. Why is a virgin valuable? Why is she viewed as valuable?
She's no man's
hatter. No, because a virgin, you pay a dowry. The daddy of the virgin gets a dowry from the man that takes his daughter. But if she's had her virginity stripped from her, now she has no value to get that dowry. And so now this young man is going to have to pay to the father the dowry. And he can never put her away all the days of his life. Now look at Exodus 22 and verse 17. Exodus 22 and verse 17. Cody?
Utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins.
Okay. It is possible, this is describing the same situation we just got through reading over there in Deuteronomy 22. Here's this young man, he takes the virgin girl, he lies with her, he strips her of her virginity, and he has to pay to her father 50 shekels of silver, and he cannot ever put her away. However, the Bible says the father can utterly refuse to give her as a wife. And if he does, the man who took her virginity still has to, and now he has to pay the dowry, and he don't get any wife for it either. Okay? Big mistake that fellow made. Okay? Now, what I want you to see here, no divorce for fornication. No divorce. Now, next situation would be an unmarried, engaged woman. She's unmarried, but she is engaged. All right? What happens if she commits fornication? Let's see. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And Justin, I think it's your turn. Read me 23 through 27.
If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the countryside, and betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her.
Okay. God is giving the girl the benefit of the doubt if this occurs out in the country where there's no one around. He's going to give her the benefit of the doubt. She tried to cry out and scream for help. But there wasn't anybody there to save her, and so she's not put to death, but the young man is. The young man is. But if they're in the city, she's expected to cry out, and she's expected to cry for help, and if she doesn't, both her and that young man are put to death. Now, do you need to have a divorce for this engaged woman in a case like this? You're shaking your head no. Why? They're not married. It's hard to divorce a dead person, isn't it? Okay, so here's this engaged girl. She has committed fornication with someone besides her upcoming husband, and she is taken and stoned dead. There's no need for him to divorce because she's dead. Okay? Now, by the way, if Joseph found... Okay.
I just want to add one thought for what it's worth. When we talk about people that are caught in adultery today, people don't like the idea of withdrawing from them from the church. They sure wouldn't have liked having to put the person to death back in the day, and withdrawal over adultery don't seem near as bad when you put it in context of the Old Testament.
That's right. Very excellent. Now, let's just suppose Joseph and Mary are engaged. She was unmarried but engaged. And if he really thought, if the suspicion view is correct, and he really thought that she was guilty of fornication, what should have happened? She should have been put to death. Okay? If he was a just man and righteous, that's what should have happened. Okay? Now, let's talk about number three. An impure bride. An impure bride. Here is a man, he has married his bride, and he discovers on wedding night she is not a virgin. Okay? What's going to happen here? Well, let's see what happens. Deuteronomy chapter 22, and we're back to you, Jacob. Deuteronomy 22, start with verse 13. Read me 13 and 14.
If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct and brings a bad name on her and says, I took this woman and I came to her, I found she was not a virgin.
Okay, so I took my bride and I found out on wedding night she is not a virgin. All right, here's what happens. Look at verse 20 now. Verse 20 and 21.
But if the thing is true, and evidences of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So if you shall put away the evil from among you.
Okay, you're putting away evil. You're not going to allow evil to stand, and other people will see this, and they will learn a lesson, and this will prevent evil from spreading. This is not an option. And so, either way, if Joseph... Now, what are the two different views of Joseph and Mary? Josiah, what's one view?
The suspicion view.
The suspicion view. And what's the other view called? Nehemiah? The humility view. All right? So those are the two views. Now, if the suspicion view is true, and Joseph suspicioned Mary of unchastity, in either case, what would have happened to Mary if you keep the law? If you are a just man and you keep the law, what would have happened to Mary? Evan? If you have an impure bride, what's the penalty?
To take her outside of the door and stone
Stone her to death. And there's no divorce. That's my point. There's no divorce here for fornication. Okay? All right? Now, let's go on now. Number four. Impure wife. What's the difference between a bride and a wife, I guess, maybe in this case? Cody? Yeah, the wife, you've been married a few years, and now she's being unfaithful. Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. Josiah?
Lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel.
Okay. Putting away evil from Israel. We don't want evil to spread. We want people to learn a lesson. And when this happens, you've got to stop it dead in its tracks, and so the man and the woman die if the wife is impure. So that's just straight out adultery. Now, let's talk about number five, suspicion. Suspicion. And this is where you suspect that your wife may be sinning, but you don't know. You don't have any proof. There's no eyewitnesses to this. Well, the book of Numbers, chapter 5, deals with this. Now, in this case, in Numbers chapter 5, if you read the whole chapter, you'll find out this husband becomes jealous of his wife. And he just, you know, she seems like she's been flirting with this other man, and he just suspicions she may be unfaithful, but he's got no proof. Well, the Bible says he brings his wife to the priest, and the priest goes through this ceremony. He takes some dust off of the floor, and he puts it into a vial with holy water. Only time in the Bible where you'll read about holy water. And then he writes some curses on a scroll, and he lets the ink dry, and then he scrapes the ink off of the scroll. So here is the curses have been scraped off of the scroll, and he put that into the water. So now we got holy water mixed with cursing and with dirt, and they stir it up, and they give it to the woman, and she's got to drink it. Okay? Now let's see what happens. Numbers chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Nathan?
When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children.
You see, God provided a way for a husband who is suspicious to find out. And if he does, she drinks the water. And if she is guilty, God is intervening here, you see. And her belly swells, her thigh rots, and she dies a miserable death. No need for divorce there, because she dies a miserable death. Now, my point is, that pretty well covers everything right there. There was no divorce for fornication, because in the first case there is a marriage, and you can never divorce that woman. And if the father utterly refuses marriage, the man has to pay the bride price, but there's no divorce for fornication in this first case. There's no divorce for fornication here with the engaged girl, because she's put to death. There's no divorce here with the impure bride, because she's put to death. There's no divorce here for the impure wife, because she's put to death. And there's no divorce here in the suspicion situation, because she is put to death by God. Her belly swells and her thighs rot, and she becomes a curse. So when there was divorce under the law of Moses, it was for reasons less than fornication. Okay? It was because of the hardness of their hearts. Let's look at Matthew 19, verse 8. Matthew 19, verse 8. Is it Nehemiah's turn?
Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so.
Okay, it was for hard-hearted reasons that men would divorce their wives. Now listen, it is not hard-hearted to put away an unfaithful, cheating spouse. That's not hard-hearted. And I'll tell you something, if it is hard-hearted to put away a cheating, unrepentant spouse, then God was hard-hearted because He divorced His spouse, Israel. She was an unfaithful spouse to Him, and God said, "Where is your mother?" I think it's in Jeremiah chapter 3. "Where is your mother whom I have put away because of her adulteries?" And so God is hard-hearted for putting away his wife, if it's hard-hearted to put away a cheating spouse. That's not hard-hearted. Jesus said, because of the hardness of men's hearts, these are for trivial reasons that men divorced their wives. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 4. Joseph? Proverbs 12, verse 4.
Excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones.
A woman that causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. That's not a hard-hearted person that puts away a woman like that. And look at Isaiah 50, verse 1. Evan?
Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away?
So that's good enough. Here is the Lord. He's put away his unfaithful spouse. Well, putting away a cheating spouse is not hard-hearted. She's like rottenness in your bones, and God did it, and he was not hard-hearted. So let's look at some of the hard-hearted reasons men divorced their wives under the Old Testament law. I'm going to give you six hard-hearted reasons. Number one, she pleases not her master. She pleases not her master. Okay, Cody, Exodus chapter 21. Verses 7 and 8. 7 and 8.
Now these are the judgments which... And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the menservants do. If she pleases not her master who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed to sell her unto a strange nation. He shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her.
Who dealt deceitfully, the woman or the master?
Master.
The master dealt deceitfully with her. And so he's putting her away. According to verse 8, why is he putting this woman away? She didn't please him. That's mean. That's hard-hearted. And that's why men divorced under the old law. They were divorcing because they were hard-hearted. Look, number two. Men divorce when they no longer want to provide for the wife. She's too expensive. And he just doesn't want to provide for it. Exodus chapter 21, 9 through 11. Justin?
And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go out free without paying money.
So here's a woman. The Bible says in verse 10, if he takes another wife besides her, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, or her marriage rights. But if he's tired of feeding her and clothing her and tired of providing her her marriage rights, the Bible says that if he doesn't want to do these for her, she is free to go out. She is free to go out without having to pay money. Okay, so that is hard-hearted man right there who just doesn't want to provide for his wife anymore. Number three, the husband delights not in her. He delights not in her. That's like not pleasing her master. But we're going to list it separate. In this particular case, we're talking about a prisoner of war. And here's a woman that her whole village has been killed. She survived the war. And someone takes her now and she has to become their wife. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 13 and 14. Jacob?
She shall put off the clothes of her captivity, remain in your house, and mourn her father and her mother a full month. After that, you may go in to her and be her husband. She shall be your wife. It shall be, if you have no delight in her, you shall set her free. But you certainly shall not sell her for money. You shall not treat her brutally because you have humbled her.
You have humbled her. That means she was a virgin. And so she's not being sent away or divorced because of fornication. The husband took her virginity away from her. And he is divorcing her. He is setting her free, sending her out of his house. She is divorced because he had no delight in her. Okay? So there is no evidence of unchastity on the part of this woman. Now look at number four. Some uncleanness. The husband divorces because of some uncleanness. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Josiah?
Wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house.
Okay, he finds some uncleanness in her, and so he divorces her and sends her out of his house. Now, what did that word uncleanness mean in the days of Moses when he wrote that? I don't want to know what does uncleanness mean today. Okay? There's these No Exception brothers says, I've gone to the synagogue here in town and I've asked the rabbi in town, what does that mean? And he told me it means fornication. It means adultery. That's what that's what the rabbi said. I don't want to know what some rabbi says today. I want to know what does this word mean back in the days of Moses when Moses wrote that. Okay, what happens, Cody, what happens if I pick up Webster's Dictionary and I look up baptism? What am I going to read in Webster's Dictionary today?
It's a religious ceremony.
Yeah. Can you go any further? Nathan?
Sprinkling, pouring, anything.
Sprinkling, pouring, immersion, religious rite. I don't want to know what does the word baptism mean to people today. I want to know, what does baptism mean in the Bible back when the apostles said you had to be baptized? That's the definition I want. And so when I see this word uncleanness, I want to know, what does it mean? And it comes from the Hebrew word erva. And it means an offensive thing. An offensive thing. Now, it's something offensive. Okay, and that's about, it's a very general definition. Now listen to me. There are three words in the Hebrew language that mean fornication. Three words. The first word is zaina. Zaina means fornication, and it's used in Isaiah 23, verse 17. The next word is the word tuma. And tuma means fornication, and it is used in Numbers 5, verse 19. And the last word is the word taznuth. And taznuth means fornication. It's used in Ezekiel 16, 29. Three words that mean sexual immorality. None of those words are used in Deuteronomy 24. The word in Deuteronomy 24 is the word erva. And whatever it means a thing offensive. It's something less than adultery and fornication. And the way I know that is because when a woman, a bride, commits adultery or fornication, she's put to death. Here, the woman's not being put to death, but she's being divorced. Now, that's a reason less than fornication. All right, let's go on. Number five. What are some hard-hearted reasons they put their wives away? Uncleanness was number four. Number five, hate. Hate. He hates her. Look at Deuteronomy 24, verses 3 and 4.
If the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife.
That's good. Look at verse 3. If the latter husband detests her, underline that. That's less than fornication. That's a hard-hearted man right there. He just hates her, and he divorces her for that. Okay. Number 6, if the wife was a heathen, if she was a heathen, they divorced them. All right, let's go to Ezra chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. Read it. Ezra 10, 10 through 12.
And Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, "You have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers, and do his will, separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives." Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, "Yes, as you have said, so we must do."
There is a reason less than fornication. They're putting away these wives not because they were adulteresses or fornicators. They're putting away these wives because they were heathens. So those are six hard-hearted reasons for divorcing their spouses. It was not God's original plan that there be divorce. In studying with God's dealings with Israel, there were times where God allowed things that He did not originally want. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people wanted a king, and God was unpleased with that request, but he let the people have a king. And so they had the king. It was not God's original intention for polygamy. He intended originally that there be one man and one woman that marry each other for life. But sin entered in, and sin changed things. And eventually, polygamy was allowed, and sometimes it was even required, as we noticed before. So God permitted divorce for trivial reasons, although it was not in His original marriage plan. In Matthew 19 and verse 8, Jesus said, from the beginning, it was not so. He didn't intend in the beginning, but sin entered into the world and changed everything. So now what we have done is we've studied verse 31. We've seen what the law of Moses said. We saw that there is no divorce for sexual immorality, that they divorced their wives for trivial reasons, and these words that mean fornication were never used in Deuteronomy chapter 24 when it's talking about write her a bill of divorcement and hand it in her hand. None of these words meaning fornication were used, rather a general term that means a thing offensive. That's what was used in that passage. So it was something less than fornication. All right, let's take a break at this point before we start verse 32, and then we'll come back. We need to wake up.